From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruiak. For Sacramento policing, is a revamping of the 911 response system and the addition of an inspector general the right reform and oversight and enough change? The city council and the mayor discussed that last night in a COVID-style virtual meeting. Dozens of people, meanwhile, gathered outside City Hall to make their opinions known. CAP Radio reporter Sarah Mises-Tan was there, and she's joining us now by phone. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Beth. Good to be here.
Would you explain a little bit more about this split venue situation and the debate that was going on?
Yeah. And so City Council has been conducting their meetings via Zoom or essentially remotely pretty much since March. And public comment has been limited to e-comments, which can be submitted online during the meeting or ahead of time. And a clerk will read out the e-comment or people can call in by phone now more recently. But, you know, a lot of people have felt that both systems don't really allow the public to be heard as well as they would typically be heard in a traditional meeting. And I think that is what demonstrators were calling for yesterday, was a return to that traditional in-person public comment, especially in regards to when the city council is discussing police reform changes.
Part of the message last night, too, was that there's a feeling that the mayor's proposals don't go far enough in addressing police brutality. So what was some of the specific agenda of demonstrators last night? What more did they want to see happen?
Yeah, they so their opinions reflect what I've heard from a number of different advocates and organizers who have been very much involved in the on-the-ground demonstrations these past few weeks. A lot of people feel that the mayor's changes do not directly address the issue of police brutality that they've been talking about. They feel like, in a lot of ways, these are very small changes. I've heard this term band-aid used. Essentially, they want something that will guarantee that there will be a change in the system and not just kind of things that they feel are fixing results of a broken system.
We can talk a bit more about those details. I do want to say that Black Lives Matter organized the event last night, but that wasn't the only group there. Who else participated?
Well, last night's demonstration was organized primarily by the local Black Lives Matter chapter, though, you know, I've heard comments that I've mentioned or criticisms that I've mentioned through numerous other organizations, like there's the Liberation Collective for Black Sacramento, the Anti-Police Terror Project, and members of the city's Measure U Committee, which met earlier this week, and they've all expressed a great amount of disappointment over the mayor's current proposal. Here's Tanya Faison, founder of Black Lives Matter Sacramento.
Waiting for our mayor to have a council session in the chambers. They've been doing it virtually. They've been avoiding the people. They've been handpicking what comments they want to touch on. And it's at this point in time, with everything that's going on, we need to be heard, especially when they're making decisions about policing.
So let's get back to the point that e-comment is being made or somehow there's virtual contribution by the public. With so many people wanting to express their opinion, what's available in this virtual council meeting setting?
So essentially e-comments are pretty much, you know, if you are not able to wait on the phone on hold for hours, and that had been the case during, I believe, last week's city council meeting when about two dozen callers waited for, hours and hours on hold to make their comments heard, you have to pretty much submit an e-comment. And that's read out by a clerk at a very specific designated time. And, you know, I think a lot of people agree that that doesn't carry the same emotion as having the actual person say it. Faison says having the presence of the public at meetings is important.
Right now, everybody's not being heard. So that's the whole reason that we want them to come in person, to hear us, not to read us, but to hear us with our tones and our pain and our crying and our anger. They need to hear everything from us.
Let's get to their views, Sarah, specifically on the reforms that the mayor has suggested, which include, as I said, the inspector general and this longer, broader look at what kind of calls and the volume of calls the police department would respond to.
Yeah, her views, you know, I think she believes that the volume of calls that have to do with mental health and mental health crises or homelessness calls, these are two types of calls that the mayor is considering rerouting to another office. the volume of these calls is so high right now that it is the majority of calls coming in to the police 911 center. And so there's some concern that $5 million to a separate office is not going to be enough to handle this volume of calls. And I also know that a lot of people have been worried that having an inspector general position is not necessarily going to hold a lot of power. The county does have an inspector general position, and when they have inspected instances of police brutality in the past, there isn't really any power behind what they say, and they aren't really able to enact change, is what I've been told. Here's Faison again.
Overall, generally speaking, the reforms that have been announced are not reforms. They're pacifications. They think that it's going to make it look like they're doing something, but they're doing the same thing that they've been doing.
So it seems, Sarah, the priority last night was to get some action from the city council in terms of the way these meetings are being held. There was a letter, I understand, asking the mayor and city manager to consider these in-person meetings again and be creative about it. But that seems to be the most immediate request. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, that's entirely right. And so, you know, at this point, I have asked different council members what plans are to hold in-person public comment again. And last I checked in, it did not sound like there were any plans in place for that. Obviously, this is all happening during a pandemic, and so city council has said that the public's health is primary on their list of goals. And so they have told me that they feel it's important to return to traditional council meetings, especially when discussing a sensitive topic like this. They also want to be able to keep everybody safe. And right now they say they don't have the resources in place to do that.
So let's listen to, a bit more from the demonstration last night. So, Sarah, is the city council responding on that issue of figuring out how to put the public and their desire to be heard and the requirement for them to be heard in an easier way than one group outside City Hall and the other group on a Zoom meeting?
No, I have not heard of any specific details around allowing the public back in. You know, there were police officers in the city council chambers last night, and so there was absolutely no plan to allow people in last night. And Tanya admitted that as much to myself. But, you know, in the past, what I have seen, but this was very early on in the COVID crisis, was that they did have people social distance in the seats in the chamber. So you'd have maybe like 10 seats in between yourself and another person. But I know that talking at a microphone and having multiple people talking at a microphone is something that city council members have expressed concern about with me. Like, how do we keep the aerosols kind of contained and at a low enough level so that people in the room are not at risk? And of course, you know, this is the whole tension between both being in a pandemic and also wanting to address a lot of reforms that seem very urgent right now.
And a challenge happening at the city and county and national level all across the country. All right. Thanks for the reporting this morning, Sarah. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much, Beth.
That's CAP Radio reporter Sarah Mises-Tan. You can find more of her coverage from Sacramento City Hall last night at capradio.org. Up next, PG&E pleads guilty. People in the region of the campfire begin to share their reaction and their memories in the court today. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.